Where do you go when you want to know what's new to do and who is who?
Studio Classroom is the place to be.
Come along and you will see, connecting is the thing to do. Give your life a different view.
You can learn and you can share with people living everywhere.
Studio Classroom, the place to learn.
The place to grow.
Stay tuned and watch the show.
Hello and welcome to Studio Classroom. My name is Gabe.
And my name is Carolyn.
And thank you for joining us for day two of our lesson, Mumford and Sons. We've already been learning about this band that has become pretty famous internationally, Mumford and Sons. Well, I do wonder about you and your favorite musicians. What kinds of things do they sing about? Of course, there's the musical aspect to a group. It should be good music, but what about the lyrics? What do your musicians or your favorite artists sing about, Carolyn?
Well, a lot of the music I listen to and a lot of what I hear played on the radio even, it's all about relationships and love. And the groups that I listen to specifically sing about our relationship with God and how much He loves us.
Okay, so that's what your favorite groups sing about. I would kind of have to agree, a lot of my favorite groups or musicians have words or lyrics that are kind of thought-provoking and challenging to me and make me want to become a better person. So it's not shallow lyrics. And I think that Mumford and Sons also have some lyrics that are pretty deep as well. Let's get to know a little bit more about them today. Open up your magazine. We'll get started with the first reading of the day.
Mumford and Sons, Roots Across Borders. These London locals clearly have major followings in their home country and in the U.S. But what is it that appeals to both? The reason might well be that their style takes its cues more from American flavors than British. Folk and bluegrass tour companions and recording in Nashville, Tennessee, America's country capital, may have won them their Best Americana Album Grammy nomination this year. At the same time, you can find allusions to Shakespeare, the Odyssey, and the Bible in their music. There truly is something for everyone.
Hello, listeners. This is your word, Lady Ellen. We're on day two of our profile article on British band Mumford and Sons. Before we begin, let's take a look at our vocabulary for the day. Folk. Folk is a noun. Bob Dylan is one of the most well-known folk musicians in America. Country. Country is an adjective. Taylor Swift's songs often have a country flavor. Allusion. Allusion is a noun. The president's speech made allusions to many classics. Sum up. Sum up is a phrasal verb. Can you sum up your answer in a few words? Your more information words are bluegrass. Bluegrass is a noun. Best Americana album. Best Americana album is a noun. Now let's get started with our article.
They are quite popular in more countries than one, and the beginning of this section is titled Roots Across Borders. Now, yesterday we talked about how British Prime Minister David Cameron invited this band to play at the White House. So, two different countries, and those countries have a history together, and they are popular in both countries. Well, how does this article begin today?
Okay, well, these London locals clearly have major followings in their home country and in the U.S., but what is it that appeals to both? Okay, so here we have this idea of being rooted internationally, roots across borders, London or England, and the U.S.
That's right, and we see that the reason might well be that their style takes its cues more from American flavors than British. And I see a lot of really great words here. I love the phrasing of this sentence. And let's take a look first at the phrase, might well be. If something might well be, then it's a good possibility. It's possible that this is why.
Right, so it's only a possibility. If our author knew for sure, then he would write, the reason is that their style takes its cues, but might well be. It's only a possibility. You could use this phrase in another way. I might well be late tonight. I might well be getting home late because I might well be having to stay at work late. That might be a possibility.
That's right. Well, moving on in this sentence, I love that the author says their style takes its cues more from American flavors than British. So to take a cue, what does that mean, Gabe?
Well, that means that they're influenced more by American flavors or musical styles than British styles. So they're influenced. They're taking their cue. It's like someone is telling them what to do next. And this turns out to be the American music styles, or flavors, as we see here in this sentence. Our author is using the word flavor, but is talking about musical style.
That's right. And in the next sentence, we see just what kind of styles they're talking about. Folk and bluegrass tour companions and recording in Nashville, Tennessee, America's country capital, may have won them their Best Americana Album Grammy nomination this year. Now, that sentence is very, very long, so we want to go back to the very beginning of it and look at that word folk from our word bank. Now, what does it mean if something is folk, Gabe?
Well, folk music is music that is traditional from a certain area or culture. And it's not commercial or pop music. It's also not classical music from centuries ago. Folk music has more of that traditional feel to it from a certain area.
That's right. And here we're talking mostly about folk music from the south of the U.S., from the southern United States. And they also mention bluegrass, which is another folk style found in the southern United States, and it's usually played on guitars and banjos or even homemade instruments. Mm-hmm. It's a very fun style of music. Well, continuing in that sentence, they've had tour companions from these two styles of music, and they did some recording in Nashville, Tennessee, which is America's country capital. Now here the word country is from the word bank as well, but it does not mean a place.
Nope.
What does this word mean, Gabe?
Well, country music. We're talking about country music here. So America's country capital, that really means America's country music capital. Do you like listening to country music? Do you ever listen to country music, Carolyn?
Sometimes. I am from West Virginia, so it's very popular there, but I don't listen to very much country, though my sister enjoys it. Well, these things, working with these people and touring and recording in Tennessee, may have won them their Best Americana Album Grammy nomination this year.
All right, and a Best Americana Album, as we can see, this group of British musicians have a nomination for the Best Americana Album. That's kind of traditional American music feel, Americana. And that's very interesting and great on their part. They're doing great. Roots across borders, of course.
That's right. So even though they are not Americans, they were still nominated for having great musical style that is home in America.
Mm-hmm.
So, continuing in our next sentence, at the same time, you can find allusions to Shakespeare, the Odyssey, and the Bible in their music. There truly is something for everyone.
Well, let's take a look at one of those words from our word bank, allusion. An allusion is a reference to something else outside of what you're talking about. So, many musicians like to do this. They will allude to something. And Shakespeare, the Odyssey, and the Bible are big pieces of literature that people might choose to allude to in their music.
And I like that you used the verb form of this word, allude, A-L-L-U-D-E, to allude to something or to have an allusion. And it sounds like this band is very intelligent if they are taking some of their material from Shakespeare, the Odyssey, and even the Bible.
That's right. Well, I think that Ken and Steve have a little more they want to share with us about this in the information cloud. And then we'll go and visit Michelle.
So what are some things in the Bible that people often allude to, Ken?
Well, there's the Garden of Eden, which God created for Adam and Eve. So if a person finds delight, happiness, or bliss in a certain place, he might call it the Garden of Eden. Can you think of another example?
How about a giant warrior named Goliath? The Bible records him as being around 3 meters tall. In modern usage, Goliath is used as an allusion to very powerful people or things, like a company. For example, you might hear about a neighborhood grocery store that can't compete against the supermarket Goliaths.
Here is one more, the Good Samaritan. In the New Testament, there is a story of a man who is attacked by thieves and left at the side of the road. A passing Samaritan helps him by caring for him and taking him to an inn. A Good Samaritan now refers to anyone who freely helps others in their time of need.
And finally, Armageddon, which you might recall is the name of a popular movie. In the Bible, Armageddon is the site of an epic battle in the end time. Now, Armageddon refers to huge catastrophes, any great loss of life in battle, or the use of weapons of mass destruction.
Just as the movie tried to depict.
今天的课文讲到 Mumford and Sons 他们写的歌词间接提到了圣经。其实英文里头有许多的单字和片语都有圣经的典故， 像The Garden of Eden 就是创世纪所记载的伊甸园。它所延伸出来的意思就是任何一个美好的地方。Goliath 哥利亚 是被大卫所杀死的腓力士族的巨人。 现在任何一个巨人或巨大的组织、公司都可以用Goliath这个名字来形容。The Good Samaritan, 好撒玛利亚人，是新约圣经中耶稣的说的一个比喻，讲的是一个人遭遇强盗打劫，倒在路旁，只有一个撒玛利亚人路过的时候停下来帮助他。 为他包扎，带他去就医。现在呢，a good Samaritan 就表示任何一个行善的人。最后，Armageddon 出现在圣经的启示录，这个字是指世界末日时的一场大战，而现在任何的一种大规模的战争或大的患难都可以用Armageddon来形容。这就是今天的 Info Cloud， 我们下次云端见。
大家好，我是Michelle。首先我们来看的是folk 这个形容词。folk 是指大众的、通俗的或者是民间的。例如 Ellen learned folk dancing from her grandparents， Ellen 从祖父母那边学会了土风舞。或者是 The lyrics of the folk songs are so melancholic， 这些民谣的歌词好悲伤。 Folk 也可以当名字，意思是指人们或大家，它是一个非常口语的用字。例如 These folks are from New Orleans， 这些人是来自纽奥良的。继续我们来看的是 allusion 这个名词。 allusion 是指间接提及或者是暗示。如果要说明提及哪里或者引自于哪个出处的话，是用 to 这个介词。例如 The novel is full of allusions to Hemingway's work， 这本小说处处都有海明威作品的影子。 或者是 Jason made no allusion to the reasons for his resignation. Jason 完全没有提及他辞职的原因。We've
been talking a little bit about Mumford and Sons today, and this band had a nomination in the Grammys for the Best Americana album. What makes that special? Well, they're not an American band. They're from London. They're London locals who have roots across borders, indeed around the world. So let's continue learning more about Mumford and Sons in the next part of our reading for today.
Mumford and Sons. If they would claim anything about their style, it might be summed up in this. We're more about people than music. They don't even like the distinction between band and audience, but would rather that both be considered as one whole, one family. For now, Mumford and Sons just want to keep up their energy, their creativity, and the relationships they've found on the road. I feel like we've got a lot more to say. We haven't said a third of it, a half of it, an eighth of it yet, Marcus says. This writer, for one, can't wait to hear more.
It sounds like this band does have a very special relationship with their audience, and our writer is very excited to hear more from them. Well, going back to the beginning of this section, Gabe, how does it start?
All right. If they would claim anything about their style, it might be summed up in this quotation, we're more about people than music.
Oh, so you see that phrase there, summed up, to sum something up. And let's look at that from our word bank. If you sum up, then you just summarize it. You make it shorter. And to sum up what this band is about, they're more about people than music. How else could you use this phrase, Gabe?
Well, maybe someone gave an explanation about something or gave a long speech. It was a great speech, but you want them to say it again a little bit shorter. You could say, could you please sum that up for me? Make it a little bit shorter. Give me the main points. Sum it up. Give me a summary. Actually, that's a similar word, summary. It's a noun, and it's when you explain something in a very short way, a summary.
That's right. So you can sum something up, and to sum up what the band thinks, we're more about people than music. They're more about something than something else. And let's look at that phrase here, we're about. To be about something, what does that mean, Gabe, if you are about something?
Well, yeah, usually I hear this when I'm talking about something, but not people. So this class is about philosophy, or they're talking about music. But here we see that people or a group of people can be about something. That means they really care about that thing. So I might say, he is about discipline. He really cares about discipline and making sure that he disciplines himself and making sure other people are disciplined. He is about discipline.
Well, I might say that we are about friendship and we are about learning. We want to be your friends for life and we want to help you learn. So that is what we are about.
That's right. So now you know how to use this word when you're talking about people or a group of people. Mumford and Sons, they say, we're more about people than music. We continue, they don't even like the distinction between band and audience, but would rather that both be considered as one whole family. So they really are about people and try to be like a family.
That's right. And it says, one whole, one family. So trying to place emphasis on just being one thing. Together, like a family or one whole unit. They don't want to be separated from their audience.
That's right. They don't like that distinction, that separation. Well, we continue. For now, Mumford and Sons just want to keep up their energy, their creativity, and the relationships they've found on the road. Well, Carolyn, I like these guys so far. What about you?
Yeah, I really like what they have to say. And we have another quote here. It says, I feel like we've got a lot more to say. We haven't said a third of it, a half of it, an eighth of it yet, Marcus says.
That's right.
One of the band members said this.
That's right. Marcus Mumford said this. they really have a lot more to experience. They haven't experienced a third of it, a half of it, an eighth of it, even a little fraction of it yet. They want so much more. Well, this writer, for one, can't wait to hear more. Wait a minute. This writer can't wait to hear more? What writer, Carolyn?
Well, this article was written by one of our co-workers, Nathaniel. I don't know if you remember Nathaniel, Gabe.
Carolyn, I miss Nathaniel. Of course I remember Nathaniel. And even though he's not teaching with us here on Studio Classroom, I'm glad that he's still writing for us at Studio Classroom. He has some good articles. This writer. Now, you can write like this as well. If you're writing something and you don't want to say your name, you could say, this writer, and then you could share your opinion.
That's right. And he says, this writer, for one, can't wait to hear more. He can't wait to hear more of what Mumford and Sons has to say in their songs. But I like that he uses for one, and Liz has something to tell us about that in the Grammar Gym. Then we'll go learn with Michelle in the Language Lab.
Hi there, friends. Welcome to the Grammar Gym. My name is Liz. We've been talking about Mumford and Sons in today's article, and the writer ends with this sentence. This writer, for one, can't wait to hear more. That's our grammar tip sentence. And today, we're looking at the phrase, for one. It's a short way of saying one example out of many. So, today's sentence just means the writer is one of many people who can't wait to hear more. So when you want to show how somebody is an example of what you're talking about, consider using for one. For example, many people weren't impressed by the speaker. I, for one, think his talk was too long. But we can also use for one to talk about things or situations. For example, my day just didn't go smoothly. For one, I overslept and was late for work. Or, I don't think you should take that job. For one, the pay is so low and the hours are horrible. If you want to see some more example sentences, they are available in today's grammar tip section in your magazine. And that's it for today. This is Liz from the Grammar Gym. See you next time.
好，接下来我们看的是 sum up 这个动词片语。sum 是指总计或总结，但是 sum up 是指简而言之或概括而言。注意它的过去式、过去分词都要重复字尾的 m 再加上 ed。例如 ，Deborah summed up her vacation with her parents in one word: miserable. Deborah 用一个字“悲惨”来概括她和父母亲一起度过的假期。最后我们看的是 distinction 这个名词。D-I-S 这个字首有离开或分离的意思，所以 distinction 是指区别或差异。例如 ,there are obvious distinctions between a professional actor and an amateur. 专业的演员和业余的演员之间有很多不同之处。如果是 make a distinction 是指做区别或者是做区分。例如 ,the company makes no distinction between genders and racial backgrounds.这家公司对于不同性别或不同种族背景的人都一视同仁。And now let's get back to our teachers.
Well, the past 2 days, we've spent a lot of time learning all about this band from London, Mumford & Sons, and they have a very wide audience spanning from the UK to the US. They have a very large audience and are very popular. And I wonder, now that you know about them,Will you listen to them? What do you think, Gabe? Have you heard of this band before, and what do you think now?
Well, I hadn't really heard too much of them before reading this article, but I am interested in their music, and I'm really interested in knowing what they are singing about. I think their lyrics are kind of deep and very meaningful, so I'm interested in knowing what the meaning is behind what they sing about.
Yeah, me too. I hadn't really listened to any of their songs before reading this article, but now I think I'm going to listen to them pretty often. Well, we hope that you've enjoyed learning about them today and that you will join us again right here on Studio Classroom.
See you next time.
In our last episode, Sherry was rescued and everyone was saved from the evil Unli. Join us as we continue Sherry's adventure in another episode of The Stranger.
As the police officer drove us back to Taichung, I sat in the back seat thinking about my crazy adventure. I came to Taiwan to take pictures of a fashion show for Color Fashion magazine. I used my day off to visit Taichung and visit the places my mom used to live. But instead of a holiday, I ended up being kidnapped by a gangster. And just when I thought I was going to die, I was rescued by Unli's nephew, Jun Fan. I now know that Jun Fan was the son of Winston Lin, the man my mother almost married 20 years ago. I also learned that Unli was the evil brother of Winston Lin, but I still didn't understand why Unli had to kidnap me.
As you know, Sherry, my parents were both killed in a car accident earlier this year.
Yes, I heard. I'm sorry.
In his will, my father gave a large amount of money to your mother. He also gave her our big house on Sun Moon Lake and a 30% share in our company.
Wow!
When your mother died, you inherited these riches. Our problem was that you had moved and our lawyers were struggling to find you. We weren't even sure if you were alive.
Ah, it's all starting to make sense now.
My uncle Unli knew all about this. He also knew that if your mother was not alive and she had no children, the money would return to my grandparents.
So, your uncle kidnapped me to get the fortune. If I had died, would he have killed your grandparents too?
Of course not. He and my grandparents are very close. My grandparents would have given the money to him.
Join us next time for more of The Stranger.